Oh, we've got to start now, actually. We'll call her, we'll try again later.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you, dear Kelly?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm actually doing okay. I had a restorative weekend. I stayed at the Four Seasons completely.
Oh my God,
yes,
you did?
Completely treated myself. Stayed at the Four Seasons at Westlake that has like one of the best spas ever.
Just you without
hubby? Goodbye, everyone.
Oh F my
you,
gosh.
Everyone. I would have taken my dog. That would be the only acceptable person, four-legged animal. But yeah, I needed one night. My parents came in town. David went off with his Michigan friends for like a 20th reunion. And I was like, screw this. I want one night. I had room service. I
wow.
watched an in-hotel movie. Like, it was heaven on earth, I have to tell you. And like, it was just, I don't know, it was just what the doctor ordered. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, I don't want to go out in the town. I just want to like relax and sleep. And so I'm really blessed because it was just a really nice night. And
that is so awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
And you were in Tahoe, yes?
I was in Tahoe, yes. And it was just delicious, delightful, and wonderful to be able to just, you know, just have that the mountain air and be
yeah.
able to you know, walk around. You're going to laugh again. Guess how many steps I got one day.
Shut up. How many?
23,000.
You know what's funny? I sold my Fitbit on eBay.
You did?
Yes.
What did you get for it?
I think like $50, which wasn't bad if you think about it, because it was probably like $125 or $150.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
So what happened was part of it broke. I couldn't stand syncing it up. I felt like, I don't know, sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't for me, and it was just too much hassle and whatever. I mean, I don't need the motivation. It wasn't like I'll walk enough. It wasn't, you know, it was more of a curiosity, like, ooh, how many steps? But I don't know. I didn't need it. So, but it was fun while it
You're
lasted.
You're the one who friended me on Twitter.
I did, right?
Yes.
And I got a little competitive for a little while. And then
I kicked your ass. Yeah.
One time, I think I told you, this guy sent me a friend of mine sent me like a challenge, and I like knocked him out of the water. He's like, I'm never doing that again. I'm like, I can't help it. Like, I get competitive. And then like, even when I was playing Connect Four yesterday with my son, my older one, and I don't go easy on my kids. Like, no. Like, I won four times in a row.
Is that the game you showed us when we went camping?
No, this is like Connect Four, like old school. Like, you put in the, you know, the little, they look like checkers. And you try to get four in a row. You've never heard of this?
No.
Oh, it's so fun. Oh, it's so fun. So I don't mess around. I guess I'm pretty competitive.
Well, okay then. Where do you think your competition stuff shows up the most?
Like with whom? Or just in general?
Yeah. Is it more with people? Is it with yourself? Is it...
That's a good question.
Personal bests?
Probably with myself the most, I guess, which is a good thing. But then it definitely comes out with people. Like, I think we lost a couple friend because we were playing Scrabble and I got a little competitive. I'm like Will and Grace. I'm like, Grace. And David's like, Kelly, I don't know if they didn't hang out with us anymore because you were so competitive. Like, it's pretty funny. But
that
I love
funny.
Scrabble. I'm like, that's probably the one game I can beat David at, which is like a big deal.
We'll play Scrabble with you.
Oh,
I love
don't
Scrabble.
Even start. Let it begin. I like know the little two-letter words. Like, I don't mess around. Like, for a while, like on the toilet, I would bring like the Scrabble dictionary.
Well, good for you.
I know.
It's so very, funny. Very important to have those little two-letter words.
I'm not kidding.
Those
are what make you win.
Grace.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
Totally. So, okay, so this is very exciting. So was this a spontaneous trip that you took to go?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why, remember, I texted
asked
you.
If I
yeah,
because
the next day I'm like, oh, my God, I'll go to the outlets. I want to see Deborah. And yeah, you know, alas, you couldn't make it. But, yeah, it was cool.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
neat.
See, we're going to undergo painting and...
wine?
And what's that?
Painting and wine?
No. I'm sorry. Our house.
Oh, I've heard about that. You've heard about that, right?
Yeah. Yes. Pinot palette or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's so cute. I love the idea.
It does sound like a great idea. I've not done that. But no, we had the house painter come today, and we're picking kind of a seafoam green color.
Interesting. Where? On the outside?
No, the inside. The master cool. bedroom and sitting room.
Wow.
So I think it'll be just much brighter. And we have the pretty violet color right now, lavender kind of. Uh-huh. But, you know, Christopher's been quite the man to tolerate 7 years of purple.
That is pretty good. But it's relaxing. They should do hospitals in lavender, my opinion.
It's very relaxing. And but we're going to go brighter, and we're getting new hardwood floors, too.
God, every day you guys are doing like a new project.
Oh, please.
Exactly.
Hey, let's try to give a call to our guest who...
Yes.
...real quickly.
And sure.
We'll just try to get her on the phone. But in the meantime, I will...
talk about
recap.
Last week's.
Yeah, Dr. Val Coleman. She is just such a delight. She was teaching us about equine therapy and how just special the those four-legged
animals and donkeys
are. And the donkeys. And yeah. I just love her style. It's so...
She was so calming.
So calming. And got to have coffee with her afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
She's just such a delightful lady. So.
She really is. And, like, you know what's funny? I didn't realize how tall she was.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? And, I feel like it kind of, like... It makes sense. Like, she's working with these big yes. animals, but she's like a gentle giant,
very,
you know?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Just so lovely. So if you missed that show, please take a listen to it and also visit them at standinbalance.com. And she really has a great program there. There's continuing education for people in the therapeutic world, but then there's also all these workshops and stuff that are just hands-on and just really, yeah. really, really cool. So... Yeah.
Well, let's give a little shout out to our new sponsor.
Absolutely.
We're so, so excited. So we have Ian Oliver. He is, gosh, he's just everything, basically. So we'll do a little promo and then we'll tell you about him after.
Okay. Here's his spot.
Hello, this is Ian Oliver, author of the best-selling book, Getting Back on Top, encouraging you to go visit my website, secondchanceatromance.com. where you can find a link not only to the book, but to lots of articles and interviews that'll help you with your dating, relationships, and sex after divorce. Go for it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. So Ian has come on the show a couple times. He's fantastic. He wrote a book, Getting Back on Top. He started his business, I think it was like finance, and he realized that so many of his clients were coming to talk to him about relationships. So it's kind of a cool thing that he segued into, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy, has a lot of great insights. So we're so happy. Thanks, Ian, for being our sponsor.
Yay!
All right,
always fun.
So okay. We're going to give our guest a little call, and we'll keep you in suspense who it is.
Do, do, do,
exactly.
Do, 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 do. Is that Jeopardy?
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, because like, do, do,
do, do, do, do, do. It sounds like you're saying do, do.
I'm used to that.
Yes, you'll have to, if she doesn't answer, we'll have to get tidbits on the children.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please, I always have tidbits.
Your call has been forwarded to
okay.
a voicemail service.
Well, we have sent her the phone number to call in, so we'll just
exactly
be in suspense.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about the kids.
Oh, let's see what the latest is. Well, first of all, do you know my favorite holiday in the world is Halloween? So it's coming up, and I am so excited. My older one almost said that he didn't want to dress up, and you know my thing is that we dress up as a family.
Yes.
And I was waiting for this day, but I didn't expect it to happen, and so I somehow convinced him. I don't know how. It's called Jewish guilt, but...
oh, yeah. Happy New Year to all
of
our
yes.
fellow Jews
exactly.
out there.
Yeah.
Yes. Rosh Hashanah.
So I somehow convinced him, so... We're good. We're in. We're in for the big haul. Moose, I'm not going to tell anybody. It's always a surprise. But yeah, I'm super excited about that. So I got all the costumes. Like, this was late for me. I usually get it in September. So it's already October. So yeah, I'm super excited about that. And
you all wear the same thing, or is it a theme?
It's a theme.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that we all wear the same, but we're all relatively in the same theme.
Okay.
This year, it happens to be that we're all the same thing.
Okay. Do you and David switch off who gets to pick each year?
No.
Or do you...
Who picks it is actually one of the kids, and it's always been Remy, but this year London piped up and said what he wanted to be, and I'm like, you know what, that sounds good. So
I think that we should, since our listeners have heard so much about your little munchkins, we
yeah.
should give them a challenge that
to babysit. Sure.
No, but they can write in and if make guesses.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yes. And if somebody guesses right,
yeah,
then we'll give them each a free book.
I love that idea.
I love it too. Okay,
that's so
let's
smart.
Make sure we put that up.
So, okay, so our email is docandtherapist@gmail.com. Again, that's docandtherapist@gmail.com. And just in case you want to know and you're not on our Facebook, we're the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show on Facebook and at Twitter at DocTherapist1. And
I like that you just named a new social media, Twitter.
Did I say Twitter?
I think so. Twitter.
No, I don't even have my teeth. Twitter. You can't even make fun of me. Twitter. So I've been getting good at Twitter, by the way. Like, I've gotten the characters down. Like, I'm nailing it.
You hashtagging?
So, I don't know if I'm hashtagging, but I'm doing the rest.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm just making it 140. So, all right. So what should we talk about today? I think you were thinking about competition,
well,
yeah?
Well, we started with that. Why don't we talk about competition in relationships and hope our guest chimes in? But if not, I'm sure you and I can fill up this hour.
I don't stop talking, so I don't think we'll have a problem. and we'll have a competition who can talk more, me or you.
Okay. All right. So who's going to put the timer on? Ready, set,
yeah,
go.
Exactly. But it was interesting because you said competition is in relationships.
Yeah.
So I was curious what you meant by that. Do you mean like being competitive with one another in a relationship?
Yeah, I think that shows up for couples a lot. I was also curious if you had a take. I'm not sure what the jury's out on this one, whether I think men or women are more competitive in relationships.
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I know.
Or competitive differently.
Right. Exactly.
Possibly.
Yeah, sure. But I also thought you meant, which we could talk about too, but like competitive because you can compare yourself to others in another relationship. So like we're not
as... The relationship
as, exactly.
itself is
yeah.
in competition with other
people. Like,
oh,
oh
yeah.
you look at so-and-so, we're not as happy as they are. Or they're having sex more than we are.
You're
or,
funny because I always do the reverse. I get in the car and go, wow, we are not nearly as fucked up as we thought we were.
Exactly. No, I do the same thing. Isn't that funny? It's horrible.
But yeah, that's a really good point. I think that that can actually... be a motivator for couples to actually work on their relationship is
sure.
if they observe other people's and but do it in a loving way, right? I don't think that people should just trash and diss other people because you never know the full context
sure.
of, you know, how
yeah,
how their relationship came about.
Sure.
But I think it is valuable to sort of look and pick and choose the things that work best for you and your own partner to try to work on and have
sure.
that be sort of like a little bit of a billboard, if you will, like, oh, we
yeah.
should be paying attention
sure.
to that.
I was just thinking about, have you ever been to a wedding and you're like, that couple's not going to work? Has that happened to you?
Well, apparently it happened at my wedding.
No.
My friends had bets on
Stop.
How long it was going to last.
No. Are you kidding me?
For those who don't know, my daughter's father and I did split up when she was about between 4 and 6 months old. It was just
wow.
one of those where it just, you know... I tried to make it work. I wanted to make it work. We're just two
yeah.
different people. We just approached things, and I just thought, oh, if we have to co-parent together, like
yeah.
under the same roof, talk about competition. It was like, no, my way is better than yours. We,
yeah.
just, we just didn't see eye to eye in
wow.
so many ways that I just thought, you know, I think we'll just do a good job independently. We ended up staying very, very close
yeah.
and connected, and I really don't think that Tiffany has kind of any of the divorced
uh-huh.
children syndrome
sure.
type of things or symptoms. So, you know, it worked out well, but
wow.
where was I going with that?
Oh
yeah.
The
yeah.
friends. But did
oh.
the friends, how far after did they tell you?
Well, I think the longest anybody bet was, I think a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So
really?
we made it past that because we did get married and got pregnant
sure.
and all that stuff. But it was about 3 years.
Oh my
years.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, 3 years you were married total?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh my God. That is so...
But, you know, I don't feel like it was a mistake. I mean, obviously,
sure.
I have Tiffany, so it
exactly.
it served what it was supposed to serve, and,
yeah.
you know, he's a good man, and
wow.
they just weren't a good married
now,
couple.
Would any of your friends brave enough to tell you before you got
Nobody.
Married?
Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
Wow.
And that, I was really angry about that, actually, because I thought, God, if you're
you know
really seeing the signs, and you guys are my good friends, and you're talking amongst each other about it's never going to work and nobody comes to tell me. No, that was pretty...
I'm trying to think. I think I would probably tell you.
You would tell me.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think it would be too hard for me not to tell you.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's hard though because it's like you want to support your friend if they're in love, but then if you see something that's not right, you know, it's like that friend obligation.
But wouldn't there be... See, now let's play with this one. I like this one. I think that... So let's think of... I'm sure lots and lots of people have been in situations like this before where you're looking at your best friend
yeah.
or your good friend's significant other and you just go, ugh.
Yes.
Nobody was basically saying ugh about him. They were saying, you know,
right.
he's an attractive man, he's intelligent, he's funny, he's all this stuff. But we just were like, you
yeah.
know, oil and water. But I think if, like, in a relationship, like, I certainly wish that in one of the relationships I was in that I told you about with the sociopath, I really wish that people had come forth, because afterwards they were saying, oh, we're so glad you're not with him anymore, and we were so worried about you. Well, if you were worried about me, why not just come and say, look, maybe you see things in him that we don't see, but, you know, when I observed this, it seems to me that he's very controlling, and he acts like he's kind-hearted, but he really isn't, you know, but nobody said anything, and I was too blinded, sort of struggling with, you know.
Well, I feel so guilty because I didn't see it.
I know.
You know what I mean? I mean, I guess I didn't know him.
But you didn't really
enough.
Know him.
I didn't. Yeah. But then I feel guilty. But I would have. I told you.
Well, now you would for sure, because we're really good friends now.
Yeah.
I think then we were more like wannabe good friends.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we didn't see each other enough. Part of it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But yeah, that's so interesting. But yeah, because I went to a wedding for a friend, and I kind of knew. And now I think they're getting a divorce. So it's sort of like, it's sort of interesting to kind of see that. I mean, it's been, you know, 10, 11 years, I think. So they lasted quite a while, but yeah, it's kind of interesting. So
have you ever been in a position where you have told a friend that you really...
Well, so in this case, the guy was actually a really good guy, and it was my friend who could be a little fickle. So it was more of like, I don't know if it'll last because of her. Like, it wasn't him. So there's nothing really, I mean, can't say change your personality to her. But yeah, so I mean, and not in a bad way, just sort of like I think she's just sort of more of a flounder, you know, than a kind of like a, you know, sit down sort of like traditionalist. So that's all. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting to see that play out. But yeah, so well, back to the competitive competition.
Yes,
I'm winning clearly as I'm don't stop talking. But yeah, no, it is kind of interesting. I think money is a big one, you know, with competition between among couples. What do you think?
You're saying that if one person makes a lot more than the other person, I think it could set up lots of difficult challenges in a relationship when earning differential is huge.
Yes.
Because it, in our society, let's face it, a lot of people feel that they are more entitled to more control if they have the money.
Absolutely.
It takes a very, very solid couple relationship, I think, to override that temptation to be the one to say, yeah, but I'm the one that makes the money.
Yes.
You can't have that or to not, you know, not be controlling in that way.
Do you think that it is harder for males when in general, when the women make more money?
I do.
Me too.
I do. I
Me
think
too.
Because there still is a stigma that men are supposed to be the providers. And, you know, it's great if women want to make money, so to speak.
Sure.
But it's not like the condition of a relationship. I personally don't believe that. And I don't live by those standards. But gosh, you still see people today who's, you know, like young people in their 20s where their parents are saying, well, how much money does he make?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What's his earning potential?
Yes.
And in our society, let's face it, it is important. I mean, earning a living is important.
I remember I was dating this guy, not my now husband, but a different guy, and he was a teacher. And I used to babysit for
you
this.
You better not say that on air, because don't we think that David believes that you are his one and only
No,
ever?
He knows. But I was close with this family that I used to babysit for. And I remember she asked me, I mean, this was years later. I wasn't babysitting a family. They were grown. But she said, what's going on? I said, oh, I'm dating this guy. And she said, oh, what does he do? I said, he's a teacher. And she went, oh. And I said, oh, but, you know, we're having a great time. He's really good to me. And she said, yeah, but he's not going to be able to pay the electric bill. And it was so interesting to me that she was so, like, forthright. Like, it was like, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. I just don't think I would ever say that to somebody, like, well, good luck, you know. Like, it was just sort of interesting. I never forgot it. Yeah.
That is interesting. I'm starting to think back, too, on other relationships I've had, if they've been competitive. I'm very competitive with myself.
Right. I think that's great.
Like, super competitive with myself.
But like, almost to the point where you feel like you're hard on yourself?
I have historically been, and then I've just learned to back off. Like, when we tease you about my Fitbits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like the challenge to say, like, oh, okay, so I'm at 19,000 steps today. Why not do the extra 1,000?
Right, exactly.
It doesn't mean anything to anybody else. It
it's just for you.
Something. Yeah, it feels like, okay, I just pushed the envelope a little bit much. But I don't do that as much anymore.
But look how great that's gotten you. I mean, you're so successful. You are one of the most successful inspirational women I know, and I'm not kidding. Like,
aww.
And I think it's partly because, yeah, you push yourself, but to a healthy point, you know? And
that's very
bright,
sweet.
And it's true.
And now it's been recorded.
Exactly.
You can't take it back.
No, I mean it, really. So I think it's great. Yeah. think that's cool it out.
I think that some competition is actually fun.
Healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually realized that because, you know, in our field, it's not about competition at all. So we have to really find an avenue to express that in ourselves that does not show up in the therapy room, because it's just not.
That's a good point.
You know, it's not about who's better at all.
Yeah, sure.
So, such opposite energy. So I actually find that, you know, I like you, I like to play games. Yeah. And I like to do things where I get to sort of have some of that healthy, competitive energy without feeling guilty about it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, which one of your kids is more competitive, do you think?
Jesus, that's a competition in itself. Who's more competitive? I mean, they're both pretty competitive.
They seem like it.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, but I think it's good. It was so funny because I have a friend. I think we were like 21. We went to Turks and Caicos on that, Club Med. Okay. And then we were playing beer pong and she could care less. And I was like, Allison, come on, like, try. She's like, oh, it really doesn't matter. And she would, like, kind of flop the paddle. And I was like, oh, my God, come on. Like, we're on a team here, you know. And so it's like, I think it's good when kids are a little competitive. I feel like it shows that they care. You know, it's almost harder for me when people aren't competitive. I'm like, what is going on, you know? Sort of funny.
Although it's nice sometimes to just have that more lackadaisical energy, you know, where you're just kind of kicking back. And
Yeah.
Shooting the breeze and
exactly
not having much care in the world or having to get anywhere or at any
it's
particular
true.
Time.
No, it is true. And I can be like that too. I have a friend who is super competitive, like beyond. It's so funny. Like it's hard for her to lose. Like literally will pout and like, I'm not like that, thank God. But yeah, I mean, there's some people who take it really seriously. And with sports too, I think like if you're really into a team and they lose, like my brother, I mean, if Michigan loses, he's like in a mood for like the whole day. I mean, don't mess with him. It's really funny. So it can affect people.
I always find it fascinating how moody people get around watching other people sports. And if they have a team that they favor, how upset people will get when their team doesn't win.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's amazing. Well, let's take a little pause for our sponsor, Ian Oliver. Thank you so much, Ian.
Hello, this is Ian Oliver, author of the best-selling book, Getting Back on Top, encouraging you to go visit my website, secondchanceatromance.com, where you can find a link not only to the book, but to lots of articles and interviews that will help you with your dating, relationships, and sex after divorce. Go for it. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Deborah and
Therapist Kelly.
And if you have any questions for us, please feel free to call at 323-203-0815. We're going to make one more attempt to call our scheduled guest for today. And otherwise, we're going to just keep yapping and yapping away.
I have no problem with that.
I've got some good topics for us.
Cool.
Yeah. We can talk about jealousy.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll talk about jealousy versus envy.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I want to know the difference.
Are we getting a
ringtone? Yeah, I'm trying. It says it's connecting, but I'm not hearing anything.
I'm not a ring.
Let me try again.
Ring. I won't burden anybody's ears with that again.
I think we'll pass on that one. It says it's connecting. I wonder if she's
trying the cell or landline.
I'm trying the cell, but I can try the landline again. Do you hear my Darth Vader voice?
No.
Oh, good. Because I feel like I don't know. It's just like I'm having like a laryngitis type thing.
What did you do? Like hooting and hollering at anybody?
Yelling at my kids? No.
Did you eat when you went to the Four Seasons?
Oh, I got room service the entire time. Isn't that hilarious? Yeah. I know. Like literally, I was like, I probably should have done a mud mask. It would have completed the whole like weekend. But it was just great. I had a great, great time.
But you sat out by the pool too, because they have a really pretty pool.
You know what I sat up for the pool for a few minutes, but that was it. But mostly I hung out in the spa in my room and just relaxed. And yeah.
Nice. So the ringer's not ringing?
No. I'm sure. Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Hopefully.
Hello, Sir Johnson.
Hi.
Dr. Johnson. It's therapist Kelly and Dr. Deborah.
Hi.
Hi, guys. I thought you were calling me a bit earlier. I obviously had the time wrong.
Oh, well, we tried you for the last 15 or 20 minutes. But anyway, we're on live, so we're going to do
joking. Well, something. Our phones have been, we've had the man from the phone company in three times.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know what's going on. Somebody did call me, but it was a very short call. But I thought you were going to call me before. Anyway, never mind.
We're
here.
We're here. Okay, so let me introduce you properly. Dr. Sue Johnson. and distinguished research professor at Alliant International University in San Diego, California, and a professor at the University of Ottawa. She is the primary developer of emotionally focused therapy. Her previous book, Hold Me Tight, was heralded by the New York Times and Times Magazine as the couple's therapy guide with the highest rate of success. In Hold Me Tight, Johnson teaches the way to save and enrich a relationship is to reestablish safe emotional connection and preserve the attachment bond. And in the revised edition, Created for Connection, Johnson revisits her successful argument for the attachment bond and applies it to a Christian audience. Emotionally focused.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Enough about that. Now let's talk to you directly.
All right.
So I guess the first thing I want to say, just for our listeners who have no idea, can you just give us a brief description of what emotionally focused therapy is?
Yes.
Okay.
My son calls it extremely funny therapy, which is because it's called EFT.
Oh, that's funny.
But basically, when I first started in this field, the basic belief was, and some people still believe this, that the last thing you should do is talk to a distressed couple about their emotions, that their emotions were the problem. And what you had to do is move them away from their emotions, get them to see reason, get them to see how their behavior was a reflection of how they grew up so they weren't so nasty to each other, give them insight, teach them skills, problem-solving skills. And, you know, that's what I was told. But when I started working with couples, it became incredibly fast. It became very obvious to me that the power in these sessions was in the emotion. The power was in the emotion, that people didn't really want to practice skills. They didn't really want to be reasonable. It didn't work when they were in the middle of a fight, and they didn't understand the emotions that were coming up. They didn't understand the impact they had on their partner when they got angry or when they shut down and numbed out. So I just started letting my couples teach me about how to listen to the emotion, make sense of them, work with the emotion. And, you know, I had a man called Carl Rogers as my mentor. I'd never met him. I just read his work. And he taught that if you help people feel safe and you reflect their emotion back to them, they get their emotional balance and they start to be able to deal with their emotions better, and they listen to the longing and the information in the emotions. So I just started following this emotional dance and helping people move it. And it was so effective that I started comparing it with other models and doing research on it, because I wanted to be a professor. And I didn't really know what I was doing when we got fantastic results. And then I started suddenly to realize that what couples were having in these sessions, with a little bit of help from me, was these amazing bonding conversations. And about the same time I realized that, this new science came out, this science of adult bonding, that's only been around for about 15 years, and it's kind of in the libraries and people don't know about it, which is why I wrote Hold Me Tight. And as that new science has developed, we've developed more and more effective EFFT, to the point where we can now show that we don't just change how you fight and make you a bit nicer to each other. We actually can help you create a secure, loving, lasting bond. And that's pretty revolutionary stuff. So that's what EFT is. It fits beautifully with the message about relationships in Scripture, because it basically says that it is our connection. We have a longing for connection with a being or a person where we feel safe and seen and special. We have a longing for that, and that this is just part of who we are, and that connection, when we find it, is sacred. And that's all over the Bible, and it's all over this new attachment research, this new attachment science.
Love to hear a little
bit. So that's what EFT is. It's the only approach to couples therapy that is based on a science of relationships.
I'd love to hear some more about this attachment, the science of attachment. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. I sure can. I could speak to you about it for about 8 years.
Okay. Well, we've got 20 minutes. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, jolly good. Okay. Well, it basically came out of a man called John Bowlby, who years ago in England, after World War II, was sent by the World Health Organization to interview widows and orphans to look at the impact, basically, of loss in war, okay? And he studied that, and he got more and more into it, and he started to understand just how devastating it was to be separated from those you love. And we all know that. We know that in our bones. But he started to study it between mothers and infants, and he started to look at what happened when you actually took mothers away from infants for about 3 minutes and then put them back together. That sounds very simple, but often very brilliant things start very simply. And he created a whole science of attachment and bonding, which has changed how we see children. It's revolutionized our parenting in the last 50 years. Mm-hmm.
Did we lose her?
I guess she is having problems with her phone.
All right, call right back.
Yeah, let's call her right back.
I think we've mastered the science of telephones by now. But
all right, hold on. Doesn't seem to be working. Okay, hang on. Might be ours.
Oh, this was getting fascinating.
I know. So interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why that.
Let me go run out.
Yeah. All right. Let me see. I'm going to try one more time. But yeah, we were talking with Dr. Sue Johnson. She is the creator and founder of Emotionally Focused Therapy. And you are listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show. Okay. I think we got it.
We got it rolling.
Let's see. It's connecting. See,
she was talking to us about John Bowlby. Didn't he do the monkey?
I thought that was Maller, I don't know. But I was wondering. I will ask her.
It's not ringing.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
She said she was having some trouble on her end
too.
Do you want to try the cell phone?
It's. I think it's the Skype that's just not. It says it's connecting, but no.
We're going back to our do 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 do.
Exactly. No, listeners, we're going to get them to tune out.
Don't tune out. Stay with us. We're just trying to figure this little technology blip.
But anyway, I mean, I've heard wonderful things about EFT, so I can't wait to hear more. Because I mean, apparently, Dr. Sue does a lot of workshops in Los Angeles too, and just really help couples. I mean, it's sort of true when you're so emotional. You know, helps to have some reason behind it.
I'll tell her to try to call in to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty.
All right. So, anyway, let's see. While she's calling back, let's see. All right. Maybe I'll read a little bit from her book. So she wrote the book Hold Me Tight, 7 Conversations for a Lifetime of Love. And, yeah, let's see what comes up. So
here, I got one. A-R-E. The basis of EFT on page 49.
Okay.
You want to do that one?
Sure. Let's see. Get to that one. Okay. The basis of EFT is 7 conversations that are aimed at encouraging a special kind of emotional responsiveness that is key to lasting love for couples. This emotional responsiveness has 3 main components. Accessibility. Can I reach you? This means staying open to your partner even when you have doubt and feel insecure. It often means being willing to struggle to make sense of your emotions so that these emotions are not so overwhelming. You can then step back from disconnection and can tune into your lover's attachment cues.
Okay, then there's responsiveness. Can I rely on you to respond to me emotionally? This means tuning into your partner and showing that his or her emotions, especially attachment needs and fears, have an impact on you. It means accepting and placing a priority on the emotional signals your partner conveys and sending clear signals of comfort and caring when your partner needs them. Wow, we're getting a ring.
Okay, let's see what happens here.
Hello.
Hi.
We lost you. I'm so sorry. I don't know if it was our phone or your phone.
All right, so where was I? What did I say? What was the last thing I said?
You were
talking about
John Bowlby, the impact of loss from war and how started taking infants and looking at attachment with taking their moms out.
Okay, and basically that work on looking at infant attachment has resulted in a huge revolution in parenting in the last 50 years. You know, we no longer do things to children that I went through, and I'm not that ancient, you know, where I was taken as a child to the hospital by my parents and left there for 5 days while I had my tonsils and adenoids removed and all kinds of other things. And that was standard. We don't do that to children anymore. We understand children's need for emotional support, emotional connection, for this closeness. So it's already revolutionized parenting, mm-hmm. but in the last 15 years, it's been applied to adult relationships. And what we know now is that romantic love is not some strange mixture of sex and sentiment. It's a wired, very ancient, wired-in survival code that is designed to keep a few people that you trust to come when you call close to you. It's basically your brain. It's a survival mechanism. It's the best one we have. And, you know, part of that is that the most important thing in a love relationship is you have to know that if you're vulnerable and you call, that your partner will come, your partner will respond. And we know that emotional responsiveness is the best predictor of success in love relationships. But, you know, this is people, the difference is that EFT, that we've been clued into this science from the beginning, and we've kind of used it to develop our interventions. So we don't see problems in relationships just as conflict and people helping people out of conflict, which is kind of the cliche in couple relationships. Mm-hmm. We see that conflict is really the inflammation, the virus is emotional disconnection, and that people don't know how to speak their longings for connection. They don't know how to accept them. We've actually told people there's something wrong with them. You shouldn't need other people. Mm-hmm. People don't know how to speak their longings in ways that pull the other person close to them. So often when we feel lonely, we get angry, we criticize our partner. Why don't you ever give me a hug?
Yes.
Right? We criticize our partner, or we feel criticized and helpless and like we're failing, and we shut down, we turn away, and we have not at all understood that because of the special nature of these bonded relationships, that when you turn away, you're probably doing it for all kinds of good reasons, but you basically freak your partner out. You induce this incredible sense of loneliness and isolation in your partner, and they often get angrier. So we feel that we understand this whole drama that partners get into. We understand what goes wrong in relationships, and we've learned over the years to create these powerful bonding moments in sessions so that people, even people who've had very bad childhood relationships and have never even experienced a safe connection with another human being, because unfortunately there are people like that, lots of them, sure. That we can help them move into accepting this longing and creating these bonding moments with another person that gives them what the science calls a safe haven and a secure base, a place to really kind of feel at home in life, a source of support and caring. I mean, we all need this. We all need this, sure. Right? But many of us don't understand this part of relationships, don't know how to deal with it, don't even know what to do with our own longings or our own... Mm-hmm. We don't understand... I have people say to me, I don't understand why I get so angry at him. You know, I don't understand. You know, mm-hmm. I'm turning into this angry person. And I say, well, I think you get so angry at him because you're banging on this wall. You want him to let you in. You want to be with him, and you can't find him anywhere, and you feel abandoned and alone. And then the person will cry. By the way, this means men and women.
Sure,
the person
sure.
will cry and say, you're right, but I never knew how to put that into words.
Mm-hmm.
And another person will say, I never even knew... I don't know why I withdraw. I don't know why. That's just who I am. I don't know why, and I don't see why she gets so upset about it. And then we help him understand that she counts on him. He's her lifeline. He's her emotional lifeline, and she has an emotional brain that's wired for connection. And you know, Scripture tells us that as well. It tells us how basic, you know, that giving love and receiving love, that's something holy that's deep in the human soul, right? And sure. So people, we need this from people. And so you say to somebody, when you turn away and shut down, you shut her out. And when you shut her out, she gets that she doesn't matter to you and she's all alone. And he looks at his wife and says, really? Mm-hmm. Do you feel that? I shut down because I'm so scared that I'll never please you. Mm-hmm. But listen to this conversation. I'm just explaining to you in a few minutes. But, you know, and that's how clear we've got about it now. But people have lived in misery all their lives, caught in what we call the demon dialogues, which are, you know, I feel alone, I criticize you, you defend against me, you turn away. The more you turn away, the more I feel alone and angry. The angrier I get, the more you shut down, the more you shut down. This eats people's lives. It destroys families. And it's all about the fact that we haven't understood our deep need for this particular kind of emotional connection. It's more than friendship. You know, my wonderful colleague, John Gottman, who I totally respect, he says that, you know, big researcher in couples, he says that marriage is a friendship. Mm-hmm. And I say, nope. It is a friendship, but it's got this huge emotional significance. It's more than a friendship. You know, it's a deep bond. And of course, sexuality comes in here because if you think about it, mothers and infants, fathers and infants, and lovers, I mean, literally, they're naked with each other. They gaze at each other. Mm-hmm. They hold each other. They breathe with the same rhythm. They tune into each other. There's something very elemental about this bond. It's all about survival. You know, we know that when we're alone, we're way too vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's attachment science in about, I don't know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes?
Well, I'd be really curious if you could speak to this sort of current trend toward polyamory and what that does with relationships. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do. I think people are real confused. I think the cynicism and hopelessness about relationships has got very high. I think people are sort of desperately experimenting and feeling that they can't allow themselves to invest in and depend on one person. That there's all kinds of signs that we just don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're right. We haven't known how to do that. You know, it's not so long ago that, you know, I would have probably lived as a human being with my family of origin, and I would have lived in a small village with all the people I grew up with. So, you know, and if I married, I would have married who my father told me to marry or for some other reasons besides love. But we don't have villages to depend on anymore. We need, and we most of us return to our mates. And if we don't know how to make that bond with that mate, then, you know, then romantic relationships are pretty iffy propositions. They're sure. they're pretty risky. So I think people say to themselves, my goodness, I don't want to depend on one person. It's too risky. I don't know how to do it. I'll have more than one. But this isn't quite how bowlby works. You know, bonding, bowlby talked about the fact that we have a need to feel special to people, and the human brain seems to need to have one or two very special people that it depends on. It's not the same as a group of friends. The other thing that people talk about is that polyamory is good because it gives you sexual variety. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff out there that suggests that somehow staying with one person and even being securely bonded somehow destroys your erotic life. Now, this is very naughty, because those folks, if they read at all, would have read the same research that I've read, which is on my website, put in my website in a talk I gave in March to the Networker Conference in Washington, D.C. about sex and bonding, where I lay out a lot of the conclusions of this research. The research says that the people who have the best sex have more erotic play, thrill each other the best, are more sexually satisfied,
wow,
are people in long-term happy relationships.
That's
so there's lots of research, especially for women now, new research that says that women in particular need to feel emotionally connected and safe to really allow themselves to become aroused.
That makes sense.
They can, their bodies can become aroused without feeling safe, but it's almost like they have a gate mechanism in their brain, and their body will become aroused, but if you ask the woman if she's aroused, it's like her brain doesn't translate it into desire, and the woman will say no. And women will tell you all the time, before I make love, I want to talk.
Yes.
Before I make love, I want foreplay. I want to be touched. You know, and nobody really takes that seriously. There's a lot of things about women's sexuality we haven't taken seriously. But, you know, nobody really takes it seriously. But I think what these women are saying is, my brain has to have enough time to tune in and make sure I'm safe. Because if you really think about it, the female animal is amazingly vulnerable in the act of sexuality.
Mm-hmm,
amazingly
yes.
vulnerable. So there's lots of research that counters this idea that one reason to have polyamory, try to have lots of relationships, is that you're going to have better sexual life. I don't think that's necessarily true at all. In fact, I would suggest the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue with polyamory, and we do work sometimes with polyamory couples, we work with anyone who comes to us,
sure.
Is it's very, very difficult to do. Most of us really have a very hard time managing to give the attention and caring that yeah. one person needs.
Yes, I believe
and
it.
And then our children, you know, let alone many.
Exactly.
Right.
So interesting.
So I think it's kind of, it's the sort of experiment you get into when it comes from our confusion about relationships and not understanding relationships. And indeed, we haven't understood them. What my work is about is saying we do have a science of love, and this changes everything. This means what you understand, you can shape. And, you know, we can help people shape secure relationships. And in the last few years, we've even taken this, using my Hold Me Tight book,
mm-hmm.
we've even taken this out of the therapy room and created an educational program, which is also called Hold Me Tight, but it's an educational version of it, where people get together in small groups, and it's amazingly popular. We've just done the first research study on it. The research was, the outcomes were very good, and it's being picked up by, not just by people wanting relationship to give relationship education, learn about relationships, but it's being picked up in medical settings. Like I've just done a version of it for the Big Heart Institute in my city, because they know that the best predictor of whether you have another heart attack is not the severity of the first heart attack, it's the quality of your most intimate relationship with your partner.
Wow.
So they said to me, would you please come? Because we're not helping people, and our patients are telling us that often their relationships actually go downhill after their heart attack.
Mm.
And those patients don't take their meds, and they don't finish our health program. So would you come in and do your Hold Me Tight groups with cardiac patients? So we have, and they were amazing. They blew my mind, and now we have people doing them. I have someone wants to do them for diabetes. Someone else wants to do them for prostate cancer, breast cancer. So educating for relationships, I mean, you know, I'm obsessed with relationships, but educating for relationships, what is more important in life? We teach kids trigonometry. Goodness me. We need to educate people to have good relationships. This is the main source of health and happiness for us.
Such good words of wisdom. And yes. Dr. Sue, believe it or not, we are out of time. This was so highly informative. I wish we had more time with you.
Thank you.
Well, it was fun to talk to you. I'm really glad we connected.
Absolutely. I love your accent. I could listen to you all day long. I love it. So thank you so
Absolutely.
Much. Again, we were talking to Dr. Sue Johnson, the author of Hold Me Tight, Seven Conversations for a Lifetime of Love. And can you just give us your website real quick for a listener?
Yes, I will. It's Dr. Sue Johnson. Wait a minute. What is my website? I'm sorry. I just had my head in. DrSueJohnson.com.
Perfect.
And
Thank
the doctor spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R, or just D-R?
No, doctor, D-R-S-U-E-J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. Loved having you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
And we must thank our sponsor, Ian Oliver, author of Back on Top. And thank you so much, Ian. We are very excited. We'll give you a little bit more push.
Promo.
Hello, this is Ian Oliver, author of the best-selling book, Getting Back on Top. Encouraging you to go visit my website, secondchanceatromance.com, where you can find a link not only to the book, but to lots of articles and interviews that will help you with your dating, relationships, and sex after divorce. Go for it. Thank you.
And right, thanks
thank
for
you.
Listening. Till next time.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.